Well, good morning. Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast. Evangelist Gene Voss with you this morning. Once again, bringing to you the Word of God, invite you to church on this beautiful Sunday morning. Be in the house of God today, where God can bless you and you can receive what you need from the Lord. And don't tell me you don't need something, because everybody needs something from God every day. And He does supply that need for His children. And then, of course, the sinner always needs a Savior. Somebody out there maybe that lost this morning, you need a Savior. You know in your heart you're lost, undone without God, without Christ. If you died, you'd go to hell. It'd be a good day to turn your heart to Jesus today and listen to what He's got to say. He's the one that's able to help you with every situation that you have today. Save your soul if you're lost, undone without God. I invite you to church this morning. Here we're members at Mountain View Baptist Church here in Tryon, Georgia. Brother Kevin Norton's a pastor. He'll preach to you the Word of God, and you'll be with us today. Sunday school begins at 10, and worship at 10:50, and then at 5 o'clock for the evening service, and we're back in Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Boy, it's wonderful to be back in church again. Now, all the services, and praise God for that opportunity we have to do. We want to not take that for granted, but thank God for it. And so we invite you to come today. Meet with us in the house of God this morning. Now, I believe you'll be blessed of God if you will come. Amen. All right, I want to pray for the needs now. Pray for your needs this morning. A lot of folks need help in prayer this morning. I recognize that fact. And God's the one that's wanting to help us. He encourages us to pray. Holy Spirit encourages us to pray. And even the nature of man knows there's a need to call out to higher power. And we know that's God. And He's got a Son named Jesus and the sweet Holy Ghost that dwells within His people. And so we've got somebody to pray to. You want to pray for your need this morning. You need something from the Lord. You turn your heart toward Him, and He'll certainly listen to you today if you'll do that. And so pray for the shut-ins. Remember them and when you pray. Those of us that's able to go, we take it for granted a lot of times that we can just go to church and don't think too much about it. But I'm telling you, some folk can't go. They can't go anywhere. They're homebound. And we need to pray for those folks today that God would just be real to them in their hour. Things are changing with them. Burdens have gotten heavier. Things are not looking up for them. But God's the one that's able to help with that. And so as they look to the Lord, we want to pray for them this morning. God would have His way. Father, as we bow in Your holy presence this morning, thank You, dear Lord, for the privilege just to approach Your throne room today through the precious blood of our Savior. Oh, what a wonderful Savior that You provided for us, Lord, in our sinful nature that we had, in our sinfulness, God. You redeemed us, and You reached down the miry clay and picked us up out of that horrible pit that was in, established our going, and put a song in our mouth, praise unto our God. And Lord, what a blessed privilege it is. Now, Father, bless every request for prayer, every need, every one that's hurting and needs some help this morning. We ask You, God, to help them as they turn their heart towards You this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for grace, for strength and all you've done for us. God, we're grateful to you. Have your will and way. We'll praise you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have some songs this morning. Hope it will be a blessing to you today. And one thing about it, it's good to know we've got a better place to go. Amen. I tell you, one of these days you're going to get to see the Lord. You're going to get to see the King, the Savior, the Holy Lamb of God. We've believed in Him. We put our faith in Him. But one of these days we're going to get to see Him in person and worship Him. You listen now as they sing this morning. Amen. We'll be there. Thank God. One day going to be crowning Him, and His bride is going to be there with Him. He's the bridegroom. He redeemed us. He bought us. He paid for us. He loved us. He was in our sins. Picked us up out of a horrible pit we was in. He brought us up to be one of His and belong to Him today. Thank God. I appreciate that song. Hope you enjoyed that this morning. So now I have another now. Hope be a blessing to you, she sings. Thank you. Amen. We're going. Amen. Thank God. One of these days, real soon, we're going to be slipping outside this old veil of tears we're in. And we're going home to be where the Lord is. A place of rest, a place of beauty, a place of worship. Amen. No distractions, no Satan there to disturb us, no flesh to give us problems. We'll be in a glorified body just like the Lord Jesus, and we'll be in the presence of God forevermore, forevermore. Forever we shall be with the Lord. And wherever He's at, whatever He's doing, we'll be right there with Him, participating, doing whatever He's doing in eternity. And it's going to be an exciting time when eternity starts. Amen. So it's good to be here this morning. We appreciate each one that's tuning us in. Hope we can be a blessing to your heart this morning on this day. And the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we've been trying to preach a couple of three Sundays on something about what the scripture says about the church. I appreciate the church this morning, and whether you know it or not, you probably do by now, I'm a church man. I believe in the church. I believe you ought to belong to a church, be a part of it, and be under that umbrella of that local assembly with a pastor, with a leader, with the Lord directing the pathway of your life, and operating under that umbrella, that church. I know that that's God's will, because He established that. He set them up. He named them. Amen. He established the identity of it and verified the authenticity of the church when He wrote the letter to the seven churches in Asia and named those churches. And, of course, in many instances, called people's names that was in those churches. And he authenticated that, and so it's valid today to belong to a New Testament Bible believing, Bible preaching church. Now, I didn't say just any, but I tell you, there's a lot of religions and a lot of institutions and a lot of so called churches across the land today that's not the Lord's church. But I tell you, there's some churches here, and the Lord's going to have a church when He comes to get the church. Amen. We're going to be alive and well, and the Lord's going to be operating within the realms of that local assembly. That's the only reason we made it all these years, because He instituted it, made a statement about it. And the Bible says, Jesus Himself said, upon this rock, told Peter, said, and upon this rock, upon Himself, He said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to know, my friend, it's never prevailed against it. The church is still going over 2,000 years later and approaching the end of the time of the church age. And we're going to be raptured out. We're going home to be with the Lord. And we're going to be with Him forever. But in the meantime, He's operating in the confines and the umbrella of the local assembly, the Church of the Living God, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that God has placed in this land, put His approval upon them, and is using them to win the sinners to the Lord throughout the land and throughout the world. And missionaries going everywhere. Well, anyway, I'm going to talk too much this morning, but and we'll talk to you a minute about the fruit of the church. What's the fruit of the church? What does the church produce? What do we see from the church of the living God? And, of course, naturally, we see souls that are being saved. That's the fruit of the church. That's what it was here for. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost. And we've got that job to do. The fruit of the church is sinners. We find mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 2, and direct reference to this. The Bible, he's here talking to the church at Ephesus, of course. A letter to the church at Ephesus, he's writing to them. And, of course, in that church, there's some fruit that he's brought forth. He talks about the fruit. He wants us to be fruitful Christians. What do we produce? What does a Christian produce as fruit? He produces another Christian. It presents the gospel. They get saved by God's grace. And there's a sinner that's gotten saved by grace. And it just goes on and on. The fruit of the church is salvation of souls. That's what it's for. That's what He put it here for. That's what Jesus came for, to redeem souls from their sins. And so He did. I'll read just a little bit here in Ephesians, the second chapter. The Bible said, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." So here we find that the fruit of the church. What does he do when folks get saved? Well, we get delivered from the past. There's deliverance from the past sins that we used to live in. And that's what he talks about here in Ephesians chapter 2. The fruit of the church is other Christians that get saved by God's grace. And he's writing to the church of Ephesus here. Paul is writing to them, and he said, "And you hath he quickened." So there's the fruit of the church. That's those that's been quickened, those that's been saved by God's grace, those that have been called out of the sin that they were in. And now they become children of God and join heirs with Christ, an heir of God, and they become one in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his church, the living God. "And you hath he quickened." So there's a quickening that takes place. That's what brings the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what brings the fruit out, is the quickening, the birth, the born-again believers, the saved saints of God, and they becomes a part of that body. And so the fruit of the church, we find, is folks that's been delivered from their past. Delivered from their past, who were dead. The Bible said that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. I mean, there's the death that we lived in at one time. Dead in trespasses and in sins. There was no hope. There was no happiness. There was no help that we had within ourselves. We only got what we could do. But I tell you, when the Lord saved us by his grace and we become a child of God, a fruit of that church, somewhere somebody reached out behind the umbrella of that church and reached out, and we got saved by God's grace. Whether it be a parent, our grandparent, or a kinfolk, or a friend, somebody that was a member of a New Testament church reached out and prayed for you and prayed for us and carried us to the house of God, instances of parents, and carried us to the church, and we got saved by God's grace, and we became a fruit of that church. And so we become a fruit of that. We become a part of that local assembly. That's what we support. That's what we love. That's what we worship in. That's where we work together. That's where God has put us together as a body, to work together and to worship together and to walk together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And so there's got to be the doctrinal, that church, the doctrinal process whereby we're at one in the body of the Lord Jesus. We believe the Bible, and we're taught by the Bible. That's the reason we teach the Word of God, is because we produce, there's believers that believes what is the truth of the Bible, and that's what the church is operating under, the truth of the Word of God. So we've been delivered from the past. We've been delivered from the past. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. There was no life within us, and there was no hope within us. There was no help within us. We couldn't even help ourselves. Folk try to get out of the sinning business, and they can't get out because don't have the power to do it. It takes the new birth. Folks get saved by God's grace. And so we've been delivered from the past. That's what the fruit of the church is, deliverance from the past life, and become a part of the fruit of that church. And well, you notice what he said there. There were some things wrong in our lives. There was something wrong we had to have deliverance over and from, and we had the wrong kind of we had the wrong kind of walk, and we walked wrong. We were going to the wrong places. The Bible said in verses 2, wherein time past, all that past day, that time past, that remember the past when we was dead in trespasses and in sins, and when there was no help within us, and we was miserable, and we was lost and undone without God, and we had no hope and no help. There was no happiness within us. Oh, my friend, listen, in time past, we walked according to the course of this world. We just done like the world did. We went where the world went. I mean, we just had the friends of the world, and we had the places of the world that we participated in, and we went where everybody else went. And of course, the mistake many people are making today, when you get delivered from the sin that God saved saved you out of, you want to get back and walk in the same thing that you come out of. Boy, that's not a place to be. In time past, that's in the past. That's over. That's not for us today. That's for the past that we can remember when we got delivered from that, and be glad that we're not in that again. So why in the world would we want to go back into the world? Why in the world are we going back where we came out of? Why would we going to want to go back to the same rot that we was in at one time? That brother got delivered from it. There's no reason to go back. The Bible said we had the wrong walk. We wasn't walking right. There was something wrong with our walk. We had the wrong direction. We went to the wrong places. And why does folks today that claim they're saved want to go to the wrong places, go to the wrong the places where the world is going, and looking like the world, and talking like the world, and participating in the things of this world today? Why in the world would folks want to do that today? And so listen, the fruit of the church that delivers from that old past walk, had a wrong walk, walking wrong, going to the wrong places today. And you say, well, I can go to those places and don't bother me. Well, I tell you, if it don't bother you, I check up on my salvation today, because my friend, a child of God gets to walking wrong today, it bothers them. It convicts them. The Holy Ghost reproves them and tells them you're doing the wrong thing. And we've got something within us that tells us what we're doing wrong and why in the world if folks want to walk over that warning and walk over that wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Had the wrong walk, and so we got delivered from that past. Had the wrong talk, the Bible said in verses 3 there, in that same chapter, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, listen, we had the wrong walk and we had the wrong talk. Amen. We all had a conversation. What we thought about and what we talked about was wrong. Just satisfying the lust of the flesh. But thank God there was deliverance that came our way, and God saved us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And boy, that deliverance from those past conversations and past participations in the things that we're doing. Thank God for deliverance. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. He's a new creation. God made him new and birthed us into the family of God, forgave us of our sins and our wrongs, and brother saved us by his wonderful grace. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Amen. Thank God for that deliverance. And so we had our conversation wrong. We talked wrong. Well, look in verses 3, the last part of that verse. There's a phrase that stood out to me as I was reading this and studying this. The Bible said, even as others. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We're just like everybody else. Why in the world would we want again to become like somebody else, like the world today? The church is getting so worldly, you can't hardly tell the difference between the church and the world today. They dress the same way, they talk the same way, they go to the same places, they do the same things, they got the same friends. And my friend, how in the world could we do that in view of the fact that Jesus Christ saved us from our sins and forgave us of our sins, and that get back in that mess today? Oh, listen, my friend, you know who governs this Christian, an average Christian today, is the world. They want to dress like the world, want to wear the same things, they're undressed like the world undresses, and the shortest that they can get it, the better, the slowest that they can get it, the better they like it, and just become like the world and be like they are, the tightest that can get it, and that that's fine with them. I'm telling you, we're living in that day today when the conformity to the world around us is getting an alarming thing in the church of the living God, and we need to get away from that today. There's a times past. We got delivered from those things, and God saved us, and we don't want to be even as others. No, we don't be like others are, not in a pharisaical sense. I'm not talking about a better than thou attitude, but I'm talking about a difference. There's a difference in our desires that we used to have and what we have today. Now we love to go to the house of God. Now we got love to go and worship and sing the songs of Zion and see sinners get saved by God's grace. Now we love to go and hear the preaching of the Word of God and the exaltation of the Savior. And oh, my friend, listen, I'm talking about the fruit of the church producing something that's different from this world today. And we're not living like we used to live. We're not going where we used to go. We're not talking like we used to talk. We're not dressing like we used to dress. And now we conform to the image of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that speaks out against all of the fallacy of this world today and the wrong ways that folks are doing and going and participating in. But there's a difference, my friend. There's a difference. There is a difference. You know what makes that difference? Two words down in verses 4. But God, amen, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. But God, that's what the difference is. God makes a difference, amen. Don't tell me there's not a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. There's a vast difference. My friend, they've been saved by the good grace of an almighty God, been changed from the way you used to live and go and talk and do, and now been delivered from those things of the past. And now we're gathered together in the church house, singing the praises of God, preaching the Word of God, testified about His good grace, shouting the victory, my friend, over the sin that used to envelop us and every day ruin our lives. Now we're saved by God's grace, sitting inside the house of God. And my friend, worshiping on the church pew, singing the songs and testifying about what the good grace of God's done for us. My friend, there's a difference today. I'm talking about the fruit of the church. What's been produced by the church is Christians that are saved by God's grace, that is enjoying the worship of the saints of God and enjoying the good things of God. Oh, my friend, listen, I'm talking about the fruit of the church. That's what God has done for us. But God, amen, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, loved an unlovable sinner, saved an undeserving sinner, my friend, born to the family of God, an undeserving a saint of God. God did that for us, and my friend, we're living proof of the fruit of the church. What God has used the church to produce in this world as Christians that exalts the Savior, honors God, and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a blessing. Well, I see your time is gone this morning. God bless you. It's our prayer on the next Sunday at this same time.